This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
And a very good morning to you, wherever you are. I must tell you, spring is sprung, or spring is springing in Johannesburg. Don't know how the weather is wherever you are, but the jasmine is blooming. One of my grandsons picked some for me. I've been away in Kruger, put a lovely spray in my bedroom, came back and the air was charged with perfume, my favourite flower. The weaver birds are building, the trees are budding, and of course in the Lowveld where I was, which my next guest knows very well, the bougainvillea was blooming. Oh, everything's coming to life. It's so absolutely wonderful. Anyway, welcome to you all. Now, many years ago now, I gave my guest a commission to write a travel article. I think it's the first travel article he probably ever written. And sorry for the cliche, but as they say, the rest is history. Why? Because he's now a very established travel writer with an award-winning Hello Travel blog. The blog is called Travel and Things. We'll talk about it a bit later. So, David Batsoffin, a very warm welcome to you.
Good morning, Kate. And that very first article, you sent me to a place called Utopia in Naboomspruit. That was the very first article I wrote for you.
Really? I was going to ask you, actually, which was the first place. I said, was it for, I know I was editing a couple of in-flight magazines at the time.
It was the in-flight magazine, I think, for Namibia Air might have been.
Yes, Flamingo.
Yes.
Oh, that was great. It was a lovely, lovely magazine to do. Now, what's been happening since? I mean, there you were, a young sprog. And now give us a bit of a lowdown or a high up of what you've been doing since.
Well, let me start where I've just been and then work backwards, maybe, because I too have just come back from the Lowveld. I was in Balule.
Oh, lovely.
Four camps there. And the interesting thing is, and I'm sure you find this, Kate, that the best sightings are always the day before you arrive and the day after you leave.
I'm going to interrupt you here. In fact, it was at Balule. We drove over that causeway. But I'm just going to, because I'm not going to talk about my own experiences, but the first 3 days, we were there for 5 nights. We got 5 leopards, including one. You know how you said 10 out of 10 sightings, not a scrap of fur 100 meters away, driving along. Yep. And I said, there was a tree by the road, not a particularly big tree, and I could see something sticking out of it. As we drove up, we were the only people there. It was a paw, and this leopard was lying. You know how you see in the photos, all four paws dangling, sound asleep. We stayed with him for a while, then he climbed down and sauntered off. But that's it. And as you know, David, I've been to game parks all over the world. You cannot beat Kruger National Park. I have to agree with you.
Yeah, the sightings in Kruger are glorious. It's just a pity that there are people there. Yeah. Because the people sometimes don't know how to deal with situations. It's always the animals that suffer. But interesting, you talk about leopards, Kate. I mean, I've been going to the bush since 1966 when I was a sprog. My birthday present as a 13-year-old was a trip to Kruger. And the rest, as you mentioned earlier, is history. And they're always great sightings. And you always get to see the very best. But it was interesting now that leopards still excite me.
Yes, me too.
Even though I've seen dozens and dozens of the things, I still get excited, bar for one experience where I did get a bit snarky with the guide. I was in Sabi Sands, And I'd seen, I don't know, 9 leopards at that stage in 4 days, 9 different leopards. And the guy came in, I was at the camp and I was busy writing, and he came in, he said, quick, quick, there's a leopard down the road. I'm taking some guests down. And I said, you know what? I've seen 9. I'm working. You go. And I never went with him. And in retrospect, I was angry with myself. But where I was now, we found a leopard in the morning. And you know, with lions, if you find them in the morning, you know they're going to be there in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Because that's what cats do. They sleep all day and then they get up and disappear into the darkness. And then visitors wonder why we get excited. But we went back to see if we could find the leopard that we found in the morning. And find him we did, in exactly the same spot where he got up and performed for us. I've got some awesome shots of this animal.
Well,
that
I hope you put them on your blog.
They will get there, but you know what it's like, Kate. People think this job of writing is easy. The going out and the seeing of the stuff is easy. And then you come back and you have to put it into your own, in my case, on travel and things, I have a deadline, my own imposed deadlines for things. And then you've got to work them in. I mean, before I joined you this morning, I've put together in preparation for next week, 4 postings. So all the images are there. I've just now got to spend the next couple of days putting together 4,000 words to go with that. And you know what that's like.
Do you know, you raise an interesting point. I'm just going to give the WhatsApp number. We'd love you to WhatsApp us wherever you're listening. The number is 061-895-1019. Let me give you that again. 061-895-1019. We'd love to hear you. We'd love to hear about your bush experiences too. But going back to what you were saying, David, people don't realise what hard work it is being a travel writer. And the most important thing is feedback. I've been a travel writer for donkey's years, and I've just been asked to update a huge American guide by the end of November, which is a lot of work. But what people don't realize is if you don't give feedback, that's it. All you've got is your reputation. And once somebody said, oh, well, we never heard from him or her, or we've never, ever had our lodge talked about whatever, that's the end. I mean, that's the end. People think you swam there, you put it on your best frock for a braai, you sit around, you talk to interesting people, you come and forget it. It's hard work. Having said that, David will agree, it's brilliant. Anyway, David, go back. So you've been in Kruger.
I wouldn't do anything else. And I've thanked you when you've been on my show, and I've thanked you on my radio show. For giving me this opportunity all those years ago. Because, I mean, I could have gone into technical writing. I could have remained an electrician, and I never would have had the experiences over the last 30-odd years.
But you would have been very rich if you'd become an electrician. Yeah. You would be much, you'd be much richer than you are as a travel writer.
Kate, we're richer in different ways.
Exactly.
I keep trying to explain this to my bank manager. But he says you can't bank photographs. I can't give you overdraft facilities based on one leopard image. But in all fairness, you know, we chose this path literally and figuratively, and we have stuck to it. And what you say is very true, because there are lots of what I call influencers, wannabe travel writers, who will say they will do anything for a pair of sunglasses, basically. But at the end of the day, they don't produce the goods, which means the lodge has lost out. People don't realize that, yes, we may get hosted at the lodge, but that's what we do, and they must get something in return. And lodges are not cheap.
No.
So if you promise to do something and you don't, and then you get an invoice in the mail going, well, you've given us nothing, so here's the invoice for your time with us. Although, luckily, that has never happened to me, because I think I learned from you, I overproduce for these people. if you say, you know, I'll give you one blog posting and 10 pictures, all of a sudden they've had seven postings and 40 photographs and an interview on my YouTube channel. And then they realize that I can do what I say I can do. But by the same token, Kate, I think nowadays when you started and certainly when I started, we had to prove ourselves. Yes. And there was no internet to do the proving. Now you say to somebody, I'd like to come and write about your camp. And they go, yep, we've seen your work. We know who you are. You can come. Because they've already Googled you while they're talking to you on the phone. So the situation is very different. And it's the same all over the world. Because like you, I've been to game parks in India. I've been to game parks up north in Africa. Although there's still a couple there that are on my bucket list. And as long as you do the job and do it to the best of your ability and don't rely on AI to write everything for you.
God. Do you know, I'm going to have a personal gripe here. And please, wherever you're listening, if you see an article that talks about a hidden gem nestling in a valley somewhere, you know it's AI. There are still so many travel sites you can go to, so many lodges where everything has been written by AI. It's absolutely awful. We're going to take a very short break, and then I'm coming back to David Batsoffen and travel.
This is Kate Turkington on Travels with Kate, only on 101.9 High FM.
Oh, and thank you, Sue, for your WhatsApp and a lovely, lovely photograph of lions in the Serengeti. I have some very good friends in the Serengeti at the moment. When I came back from Kruger yesterday, he sent me a picture of him and his whole family watching a cheetah. Having said that, in the past, and David will reinforce this, you go to the Masai Mara, you go to Serengeti, you think you've got vehicles in Kruger. I must tell you, I have an infamous story of daughter Tara and I going into the Ngorongoro crater as the gates opened with a very grumpy guy because they hate going in early there because they're so spoiled, they get so many people. And totally, and I've also said this before, our national parks are so well managed. And for example, in Kruger in high season, they only allow a certain number of guests. Tanzania, Uganda, Kenya, it's a free for all. We went into the Ngorongoro crater practically at dawn, down, 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 found a pride of lions. We were the only people, and this is not fake news. We came back quite late afternoon, about 4 in the afternoon. As you said, David, lions don't move all day. They sleep all day. There were 100 cars round that prize. I mean, so we must be grateful because our parks are so well managed. Anyway, where were you before Kruger? I know sometime this year you've been in one of my favorite destinations, Morocco.
We were in Morocco, which was Kate, I think Morocco is an underrated destination.
Totally.
But I think it's a bit like India. When we went to India several years ago, I'd asked friends that had been to India what it was like. And they said, we can't tell you. No. You have to go and experience it, and you will either love it or hate it. There's no in between. And I think Morocco was the same. I went with no expectations. Bless my wife. She normally does. Carolyn normally puts together all these sort of the overseas ones. I do the local ones because they're easy. But I never do. I'm lazy. I never do any research. I arrive in a town and she goes, we're going here for dinner. We're staying at this hotel or whatever the case might be. And I just tag along, taking a trusty camera and doing my little bit. But I was blown away by the country. I was blown away by the people. And we were there in Marrakesh, the earthquake was just a few months before we were there. So the rubble and the way that people are living, because nothing's been, none of the houses, many of the houses have not been rebuilt. But what was interesting for me, we walked to see a synagogue, which was buried deep in one of the suburbs. And that particular suburb had been badly hit by the earthquake. But the synagogue had not been touched. It was the most amazing thing. Not even a crack. Yet buildings on either side of it were no longer there. So, you know, was somebody looking after it? Who knows? But it was a very interesting, because they had a huge Jewish population when the country was formed. A lot of them came from Europe, running away from what was going on in Europe. A lot of them were coerced to go over to Israel. So the population isn't very big anymore, but there are still synagogues and there are still Jews in Morocco, which was, again, a very interesting take on being a Jewish travel writer in a country that maybe people don't see as friendly towards, if you get my meaning. But they were very welcoming, and we had an absolute blast. We're planning on going back.
Yes.
But as you well know, again, I defer to your travels, there is just so much to do going forward. You know, we're already, our next trip is to Madagascar.
Oh, you'll love that.
And we're busy planning that.
You'll love that.
So there's always some, and then in between, I must just tell you that we've discovered a company that does convoy traveling. So it's about 8 to 12 cars. You all get a radio. The leader of the company drives in the front, and you drive to a destination. Sometimes they're overnight. We're going to Ficksburg for the Cherry Festival. Oh. So it's three nights. So you drive there, and he will talk you through what you're seeing while you drive. Nobody rockets down.
Amazing.
It's not on an N road. It's on one of the back roads, but you don't need a 4x4, and you don't need to speed. And he had a company just before COVID that did train trips. And of course, that died during COVID, but he pivoted so that he now can do car travel. And, you know, even in the latter stages of COVID, he could do it because you were all in individual cars.
I hope you're going to put all this on your blog, David, because I'm sure people listening will be interested.
In fact, I've already interviewed the owner, and that's available on my YouTube channel. I mean, if you'll allow me, I'll tell you the name of the company, and then people can look it up.
Yes.
It's called JB Tours.
JB Tours.
JB Tours, yeah.
And
you can
word.
Find my interview. JB is his initials, and then Tours.
We'll find it. That's enough. That's brilliant.
And you can find
we'll find it on
YouTube.
We'll find it.
And it's just something different. And again, during COVID, we found places here in South Africa that were absolutely stunning. That we never knew about.
Yes.
Tsonga Beach down on the Indian Ocean coast near Richards Bay is like being in Mozambique.
Exactly.
Except we didn't have to go that far. And we don't have to worry about currency conversion.
Do you have a favorite, Esther? You talked about India. India is my favorite all-time destination. Yeah. But do you have a...
I hear what you're saying, Kate, and everybody asks me that question.
Me too.
And the answer is normally wherever I am, I'm happy there. But my happy space is the bush.
Yes.
Put me on a vehicle and let me photograph things that dead, dying, or just sitting and looking at me. I'll photograph them all. But I've learned that not everything needs to be photographed. And this is where I think a lot of people, I know I was just in a camp and there was an international guest sitting next to me. And whatever we saw, he was photographing.
So he's missing
the
experience.
A zebra in bad light. He missed, totally missing the experience. And I mean, the animals that he's shooting were just, they weren't great subjects. And eventually I said to him, and his family were sitting behind us, I said, why don't you put your camera down? And his daughter very quietly just applauded and sort of mouthed, you've noticed as well. And so he's taking hundreds of pictures. He's got one of those big SLRs, DSLR cameras, not a small Instamatic. And he's shooting like a machine gun. And I said to him after, what are you going to do with all these pictures? He said, I'm going to delete them. I said, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, you've seen your entire safari has been through a viewfinder.
Through a lens.
Through a lens,
I think that's what the, as you know, and I've told listeners before, one of my grandsons is a game ranger. And one of the things they do in their introductory talk is, of course, you must take photos, and I'll get you in the best spot with the sun in the right place. But be in the moment. Be in the moment. Enjoy the moment. Immerse yourself. Immerse yourself in the experience. So you're saying your favorite place is wherever you are. Come on, tell me about your worst destination ever. Even if you don't name the actual place, I have worst destination.
Okay,
worst.
So I have two. The first is relatively local. I shan't mention the name.
No, don't.
But we were hosted there for a weekend. The place sleeps 48. It's a conference destination that can handle 120 delegates, but it can only sleep 48. There is nothing nearby to go to if you want food. So you've got to bring stuff with you. We eventually discovered that this was run by a cult that was based in Johannesburg.
Did you become a member?
No, they didn't. They didn't invite me. Those sort of things. I didn't have the right thread count for the sheets that you had to wear. Anyway, when I left there, I'd been commissioned to write a piece, and I'm sure this has happened to you. So I got hold of the guy that commissioned me, and I said, look, I can give you two pieces. One is the one that you want. And you mentioned this earlier, Kate. One is the one that you want. You want it all positive and lovely and wonderful. And that's going to ruin my reputation.
Exactly.
The other one is my experience, which is going to ruin your facility.
David, we're going to have to. Unfortunately, yes. We've run out of time. But please, please, please come back in, two or three months or so. Wait, just let me know after your next couple of wonderful trips. And let's talk some more, because we could actually do this for hours and hours and hours. So that's David Batsoffen. His blog is called Travel and Things. Just type in on your Google Travel and Things and you'll get access. It is an award-winning blog site and really full of interesting stuff. David, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate. Take care. Bye.